And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
DirecTV gives you access to apps like Netflix and live sports right next to each other.
I don't get it.
Let me put it in pigeon terms. It's like that one amazing dumpster with the old fruits and cardboard all in one place.
How am I supposed to keep up with illustrative metaphors when you are making me so hungry?
Get live TV and streaming apps together without a satellite. Visit DirecTV.com. Requires high-speed internet-connected Gemini device and separate paid subscription to watch Netflix on DirecTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
The Athletic.
Mohamed Salah's heated exchange with Jurgen Klopp last weekend left many questioning whether the forward would join his manager in leaving Liverpool this summer. Then, as The Athletic revealed on Monday, Liverpool expect Salah to stay this summer and are planning on him being part of their squad next season. So with his future back on the agenda, what are Liverpool's options with or without their iconic forward? I'm Ayoke Mulere. Welcome to the Athletic FC podcast. With us today, we have The Athletic's football correspondent, David Ornstein, and Liverpool writer, James Pearce. So, David, let's start with you on this one. You broke the news on Salah on Monday that he's expected to stay at Liverpool next season. We'll touch base on the Saudi conversation a little later on in the pod. So bring us up to speed as to where the story is today.
Yeah, the most important thing to say is that Liverpool fully expect Mo Salah to stay this summer, and to the extent that they are planning with him as being a key part of their squad still for next season and potentially even beyond. The beyond bit we can come on to speak about in due course. Furthermore, there has been zero indication from Mo Salah that he intends to leave. Nothing at all. To the contrary, he appears to Liverpool to be fully committed to them and this new era, which sees Jurgen Klopp replaced imminently by Arne Slot, that sees Michael Edwards arrive as CEO of football to Fenway Sports Group, that sees Richard Hughes start in the summer as the new sporting director. And I'm sure there'll be more changes on the playing side too. Now, this conversation has naturally come to the fore because Salah is approaching the final 12 months of his contract. There's no news yet about a new deal. Similar situations with Virgil van Dijk, captain, and Trent Alexander-Arnold, vice-captain. They're also out of contract in the summer of 2025 with no news on their deals either. Furthermore, the form that Salah has displayed pretty much since his hamstring injuries at the Africa Cup of Nations has given cause for some concern. And the heated exchange he appeared to have with Jurgen Klopp on the touchline at West Ham at the weekend. However, my information, sourced and corroborated from all sides, indicates that Mo Salah is going to be continuing at Liverpool, that the league that has been linked with him the most, the Saudi Pro League, expects him to stay, and that they think he wants to be at Liverpool for the 2024-25 season. You never say never in this industry, but as far as I have been able to establish and report with authority, Mo Salah's Liverpool journey is not about to come to an end, contrary to a lot of the public speculation.
Yeah, and you can understand some of that speculation, James. You know, we all saw that disagreement with Jurgen Klopp on the sidelines, you know, that draw with West Ham. And you actually spoke to Salah, you know, post-match, and said that famous line that has now gone quite viral, really. You know, there will be fire if he spoke, you know. What did you make of that comment?
I thought it was a strange reaction. I've got to say, I mean, I've probably asked Mo Salah to stop in mix zones 150 times probably in the last few years. And the stock answer is usually not today, thanks. I think he's stopped to spoke to us in the kind of the UK written press twice in coming up to 7 years at Liverpool. So, yeah, I was surprised, especially I think his manager, I just had word from the press room that, you know, someone had sent me Klopp's quote from the press conference at the time where he'd said, you know, we've spoke about it in the dressing room. It's done, finished. We all move on. Klopp was then asked, does Salah see it the same way? And he said, well, that's my impression. Yes. And then Salah knew, you know, when you say something like that, you know, if I speak today, there will be fire. you know, he knew that that was going to just give more oxygen, really, to the story. You know, he could have said, it's absolutely nothing, it's sorted. He could have, I think he should have done, which was he should have apologized, because I thought what he did in a very public environment to someone who's elevated his career to incredible heights, I think he should have apologized. So, yeah, I was quite surprised by what Salah said.
Yeah, you dropped an article today, you know, how do Liverpool solve a problem like Mo Salah? I mean, from what David's saying, looks like he'll stay on. Do you think this could be a bonus for Arne Slot, inheriting a player like him, which I guess is really symbolic of the Klopp era, really?
Yeah, I think it is a real dilemma that Arne Slot is walking into there. And of course, it's not just his call. It'll be something, a decision that's made in, you know, in conversations with Richard Hughes, the new sporting director, and Michael Edwards, FSG CEO of football. And of course, Edwards is a huge Salah fan. You know, he was the one who really banged the drum to sign him from Roma, you know, coming up to 7 years ago. I think they will still believe that despite the slump we've seen in Salah's form in the last 3 months, they'll believe that he can get back to where he was. And we're talking about an incredible athlete. And usually with footballers, you'd say, well, he's 32 in June. You know, he's in, you know, he's kind of over the top of the mountain and is coming down the other side. But I think that's why Salah, I'm not sure. I just think what we've seen the last few months has been the impact of having his first serious injury mid-season at Liverpool, and then the problems of trying to get back up to speed and gain rhythm again after that. So it's going to be intriguing, because as David said, the situation as we understand it at the moment is that Liverpool expect him to stay. He's given no indication that he wants to go. The Saudi Pro League seem to believe that they have a better chance of getting him in 2025. And that would kind of tally with, I know 2 years ago when he was in a contract dispute with Liverpool, Salah's camp were adamant that he wouldn't leave with 1 year to go. If it wasn't sorted, he would just sit tight and go on a free. So, you know, the question is, do Liverpool really want to risk losing someone of his stature for nothing? Does an offer come in this summer which changes Liverpool's stance? You know, you can only, you know, when you look around the footballing world, it can only come from Saudi or maybe PSG in terms of someone who could pay the fee and the wages needed.
As we just mentioned, on the pitch, Salah hasn't been his usual clinical self since fully returning from a hamstring injury in March. Since then, though, he has 5 goals in 13 games, below his usual exorbitant standards. So let's ask our data writer, Mark Carey, whether or not Salah is declining or just evolving.
A look at the numbers would suggest that Mo Salah is actually having a season as good as any other. In the Premier League, he scored 17 goals and bagged 9 assists, and that's comfortably the most of any player in the Liverpool squad. And his rate of 0.68 goals per 90 minutes is the third strongest season that he's had since joining Liverpool, which is also better than the title-winning campaign in 2019-20. So if you were to base your conclusions and your thoughts on those statistics alone, you'd say that there was little cause for concern in Salah's performance, but it's quite clear that things haven't quite been clicking for Salah in his all-round play, in his general play. His touches seem heavier, his confidence seems lower, and I think most notably, he's less involved in Liverpool's attack, and the numbers back this up. So this season, Salah averages about 52 touches per 90 minutes in the Premier League, but in his last start in the Premier League against Everton, he managed just 38 touches. Now, that's the fewest he's had this season in a Premier League game where he's completed the whole match. So I think it speaks to just how much he is lacking in confidence. And, you know, there are mitigating circumstances. He picked up an injury, a hamstring injury, back in January during Egypt's Africa Cup of Nations campaign. And he did have a bit of a false start in coming back for Liverpool. He sort of got re-injured and had to take his time in coming back into the first team. But I think with the way that he plays, he needs to always be at full tilt and trust his body when he's making those bursts forward. And given how robust he normally is, that injury may have contributed to a lack of confidence as well as a lack of rhythm, which Jurgen Klopp is always big on. But overall, I think this is a case where his attacking numbers actually remain strong at the season level, but compared with his near-perfect standards, it's obvious that he's dipped in form. And unfortunately for Liverpool, that's at the crucial part of the season where they needed him most.
Yeah, Mark Carey there on Mo Salah. Just a quick one, and I'd be interested from you two to hear your views on this. Start with you, David. You know, we're talking about Mo Salah's form declining. As we said, this is a player who's going to be, what, 32 this summer? We can't really expect those same standards as a player we've seen in the past, but would we be talking about Mo Salah's form declining if, for instance, a player like Darwin Nunez was firing?
Definitely not in as loud a way as has been articulated from across the industry in the last few days or weeks, because Salah has set a bar that is so high. He at times has sort of carried Liverpool or just played an unbelievable role in their competitiveness during his time at the club. I mean, what a signing he has been. Broken records left, right and centre. He's brought joy to the hearts of Liverpool fans by the million and lit up the Premier League. And he stands for so much more as well, not just on these shores and for the competition, for the Arab world, for Egypt. He's a phenomenon. And yeah, when others aren't pulling their weight in the same way that Liverpool would expect and their fans would want to see, then it highlights it that bit more. I mean, I look at 29 goals in 49 appearances for club and country this season and think that most clubs and sets of fans would love to have that at their disposal. I see a 31-year-old right now, just to point out something Mo Salah might say, and think to myself, he still has a lot left in the tank. I see somebody who was showing his displeasure at being a substitute. I think that was the case at West Ham. And the realization or the notion that he's now droppable, which hasn't really been the case in the past, he didn't take well to, because he's so competitive. He feels he has so much to offer still. Liverpool are going to be back in the Champions League next season, almost certainly. And Mo Salah may, it appear, be or want to be a firm part of that and challenge for the biggest honours again. If he wants to go to the Saudi Pro League or elsewhere, perhaps he feels that can still come further down the line when he's 32 going on 33 in the summer of 2025, or maybe even later. And that's a conversation and a bridge that will need to be crossed when it comes to it, if indeed our understanding is right that he's going to be staying. And you've got to look at the actual incident that everybody's talking about with Jurgen Klopp and see the context. Klopp loves his players. He clearly has great affection for Mo Salah. But he doesn't tend to take kindly to players who don't accept his decisions. We saw that a little bit with Sadio Mane, who left when he started to lose his regular starting berth. It doesn't mean that Klopp has any less affinity with them. It's just something he doesn't seem to like in terms of the cohesion of the squad, and those players don't like when they're so used to their normal routine and have such hunger to be playing and scoring goals. The bottom line is that problem, if it is one, is about to be eliminated because Klopp is heading out of Anfield, whether people like it or not. And that presents the opportunity for Salah and many others, with no disrespect to Klopp, to have a fresh start. And perhaps this is something that Salah wants, that others want or are intrigued by or looking forward to. And so we don't know the exact context of that incident and the comment to James in the mix zone after the match, but things are about to change massively. And so, you know, back to your original point, yeah, it really is incumbent on the likes of Darwin Nunez, of Diogo Jota, of Luis Diaz, of Cody Gakpo, of Ryan Gravenberch, of Harvey Elliott to step forward, because Mo Salah's brilliance and exploits, that they cannot go on forever. There is naturally going to be some level of decline. And the bare statistics show there is a bit of a drop-off for Salah, maybe in defensive metrics. But he's still contributing quite heavily in the attacking third. Yeah, the second half of the season hasn't been quite as prolific as the first. We need to mention the injuries when we reference that. But that by no means suggests that Salah can't be part of Liverpool going forward. I think he believes he can. I think Liverpool believe he can. I think the suitors believe he will be. And I certainly think there's life in the not so old dog yet.
Do you buy that, James? You know, have Liverpool become so used to Super Salah coming to the rescue? You know, the stats, as Mark said, you know, 17 goals, 9 assists, 21 goal chances created for Darwin Nunez alone this season. Obviously not hitting the usual heights, but it's not just a Salah problem with Liverpool this season.
Yeah, I think there's lots of factors at play there. You're right. You know, in terms of, you look at Salah's overall numbers and they are still impressive, I think. But he hasn't been, you can't get away from the fact that since he's come back from the injury, he hasn't been anywhere near the Salah that Liverpool have come to know and love over so long. And that is the big question. I still think it's far too soon to talk about he's in decline, which is, in the age we live in now with knee-jerk reactions, that is what a lot of people have jumped to. I just think it's someone coming back from something they've not been used to, with having that not only did he have a bad hamstring injury, but he came back and then aggravated it straight away and then had another 3 weeks of rehab, which I think psychologically, as much as anything else, is bound to put doubts in your head in terms of, especially someone who relies on that acceleration. You know, do you have 100% trust in your body? And so I think, and Salah's not stupid. Like, I think what we saw on Saturday was frustration with himself as well, as much as the team's fortunes. I mean, Liverpool's challenge, in terms of the Premier League and obviously what happened in the Europa League, that will have hurt him because he's a winner. You know, he's fiercely ambitious. It was, much as anyone in that dressing room, he would have wanted to ensure this Klopp era signed off on a high. You know, that hasn't happened. And also he'll be hurt in the fact he hasn't made the contributions in the last couple of months he would have expected to. I think, you know, what is it, in his last 8 appearances, his only 2 goals have been penalties. So, and he has missed a lot of chances. He hasn't pressed at the top end of the pitch like we've come to expect. His touch has let him down. He's been wasteful. But it's far too simple to just point a finger at him, because, you know, at the same point, you know, Darwin Nunez has also suffered his own crisis of confidence. And, and you've had injury issues to people like Diogo Jota. So it's, you know, and then you've got the general fatigue, and they just look emotionally spent as a unit, Liverpool, right now.
You're listening to the Athletic FC podcast with Ayo Akinwalere.
It's Tony Evans here, host of the Athletic's dedicated Liverpool podcast, Walk On. The Reds' title chances may well be over. Tonight, Jurgen Klopp, a fairy tale farewell. But we're already looking to the future. With Arne Slot looking likely to be in the Reds' dugout next season, we assess the Anfield's excitement levels with Andy Jones, Simon Hughes and James Pearce.
Without hope, what do we have?
Just search for Walk On wherever you get your podcasts.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Victorinox, the makers of the original Swiss Army knife, have been a reliable companion for life's everyday challenges, mastering functionality, innovation, iconic design, and uncompromising quality with its products. The Victorinox Swiss Army knife provides you with all the things you don't think about until you need it: tweezers, a screwdriver, and even a corkscrew. With the Victorinox Swiss Army Knife, you can be prepared to master everyday life. You can find Victorinox Swiss Army Knives at Dick's Sporting Goods.
So Salah looks set to stay at Liverpool next season, but his contract is up in 2025. He's been heavily linked with a move to the Saudi Pro League. So could he go on a free next summer, David? He'd be the jewel in the crown in the Saudi League, wouldn't he, with the Arab connections?
I've already heard through the game of sponsorship deals that have been lined up and are being worked on whether or not he comes, but it would just be the centerpiece and, to many of us, the sort of crowning glory. But let's put some perspective on this. When they went for him so aggressively in the summer of 2023, that was largely because that specific team that wanted to sign him, Al Ittihad, had on the horizon the Club World Cup in December of 2023. They were in the same competition as the likes of Manchester City. They wanted Salah as part of their roster to go and attack that competition. And that produced some urgency that isn't there this time around. Furthermore, he's a year older. He is a year closer to the end of his contract. So the sort of money that was being offered and rejected by Liverpool, I doubt is going to be there this time round for those reasons. And so would it get to the level that a club like Liverpool would find acceptable? And above all else, that does Mo Salah want to go there at this point? My information is no, he wants to stay at Liverpool for now. Then you get to the summer of 2025. Let's be clear, I don't think the Saudi Pro League's admiration for Salah has gone away at all, but it's not quite as urgent and aggressive as it was last summer. And so they will be looking at it and say, perhaps we make a big play for him as a free agent if he doesn't sign a new deal at Liverpool. And other leagues may say the same. We don't know what those salary expectations you talk about will be further down the line. Maybe even he signs a new contract at Liverpool. And that's one thing I just want to touch on, is that this is an inherited problem for Richard Hughes, the incoming sporting director. It's Liverpool who have let the contract situations of Salah, Van Dijk and Alexander-Arnold get to this point. Richard Hughes, with Michael Edwards above him, they're going to need to get stuck into this. Once the T's have been crossed and I's dotted on the appointment of Arne Slot, then you move on to such important matters. And let's see how they get on. I would suspect that they want all three to stay and will make a big effort to do so. You asked me about the other attacking players like Darwin Núñez. Well, it's those individuals, Hughes, Edwards, the recruitment staff, Dave Fallows, Barry Hunter, Will Spearman on the recruitment side, that are going to need to recruit well to support the likes of Salah, to support Arne Slot, to make the team competitive again. I've already heard from multiple contacts, they're looking for a wide player. Now, I don't know if that's to add to what they've already got. Is it because there's been speculation around the future of Luis Diaz, who is yet to sign a new contract, which is quite unusual for a player that's done so well. He's been linked with moves elsewhere. Let's wait and see on that. But it is a bit of a bulging in tray for the new hierarchy. And within that, they'll not want to lose somebody who is so core to that. What happens further down the line, barring some about turn this summer with Salah, is going to be left for another day. And when I say barring an about turn, it's because I've asked the questions, what if this massive offer comes in that people seem to think will arise from the Saudi Pro League? Well, one, I've explained why I don't think it will. But two, it all comes down to Mo Salah. And if he's committed to Liverpool, it's case closed.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/theathletic. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
This is the Athletic FC podcast with Ayo Akinwalere.
This is going to be really interesting, James, for incoming manager Arne Slot. He's inheriting, I guess, a Mo Salah, who is a player of the Klopp era. And some might say perhaps a slightly different level to what he's used to in the Netherlands in terms of profile of player. How he deals with that situation could be really, really fascinating on how he sees this Liverpool team coming together, right?
Yeah. I mean, it is one of the really interesting elements of him being the man of choice, because I think the more I've spoken to people that have worked with him, the more I've read about him, you can understand why Liverpool have gone for Slot. But when people talk about it being a bit of a gamble, and a lot of the fans I spoke to on the way down to West Ham on Saturday and back on the train, you know, they quite a few of them use the word gamble because he hasn't managed an elite European club previously, is that ability to deal with absolutely elite players, with the greatest respect to Feyenoord, he hasn't had previously. I think, you know, their record signing during his time there was about €9 million. I think he hasn't had someone who earns more than €40,000 a week. So, you know, you're talking about Salah earns 10 times that. So yeah, you know, bigger names, bigger personalities, probably in a few cases, maybe some bigger egos as well that he's going to have to manage. So it is going to be intriguing. And I think that's why there's no real easy answer with the Salah one, because, you know, I still think he can get back to where he was. I think it's too soon to write him off as a player in decline. Yes, of course, his game has to evolve. I think it probably has evolved already. He's no longer just the absolute speed merchant on the counter-attack. He's a very intelligent footballer. But, you know, as David touched upon there, what do you do? Do you, if you're Liverpool, do you really want to keep him for 12 months and let him go for nothing? Because, you know, suddenly you're in the realms of, if you give him a 2-year extension, which is probably the minimum of what he would want, you know, that suddenly that takes him up to, could be his 35th birthday. You know, do you want to be committing? And he wouldn't want less money than he's on. So you're talking about £350,000 a week. Do you want to commit that kind of resource to someone in the latter stages of their career? So, and of course, you know, unless there's an offer that makes you reassess, then the arguments are irrelevant anyway, because at the moment it's unclear whether there is going to be that bid from the Saudi Pro League to really test the resolve. And, you know, also going back to the interest last summer, for all the talk, it was only at the very, very back end of the window that offer of £100 million rising to £150 million came in. And it was dismissed instantly because it was just far too late. Liverpool had no chance to go and source a replacement. I don't think you get that level of fee now, but I don't know, say for argument's sake, you got 80 or 90 million and it was on the table in June. You know, I think then there is a discussion to be had.
My thing is though, yes, so you do replace Salah. Where do you get a player of that quality? You cannot doubt Salah for his efficiency, and getting a player who can kind of hybrid as a winger striker, you know, at whatever rate, at that quality. Oh man, that's hard to find.
Yeah, it really is. And especially when, you know, because of the crazy high standards that he's set, we're talking about him having a relatively poor season, which I think is fair on the standards that he's set. But he still scored 24 goals and got 12 assists. those are numbers that most elite strikers Premier League strikers would absolutely bite your hand off for. So that is the dilemma that almost a little bit of you know, yes, he might not be quite where he was, but almost be careful what you wish for, really, in terms of can you really fill that gap, you know, especially when there's issues in other departments that also need to be addressed by Slot, because it's not just, you know, obviously there's been a lot of noise around Salah since the weekend and he created a lot of that, but, you know, Darwin Nunez is a big issue. Is he really the number nine that's going to take Liverpool where they need to go under Slot? You know, the midfield department clearly needs a bit of a refresh. Thiago leaving this summer. Can he get Szoboszlai firing again? Szoboszlai outstanding in the first 3 or 4 months of the season. Again, another player who suffered an injury and has struggled since. And defensively, Liverpool have looked so frail. You know, again at West Ham, set pieces, not reacting quickly enough to crosses into the box. You know, the lack of clean sheets has hurt them so badly this season, as, you know, especially at the business end of the season with so much on the line. So, yeah, there is a fair bit for Slot to sort out there. It's not, you know, rewind a few months and we were probably talking about, you know, oh my God, this guy, whoever the next guy is after Klopp, could be trying to improve on perfection. That's not the case.
Well, that brings me to this point, really, because obviously you wrote a piece on Liverpool's Last Dance, you know, how following Klopp could be quite daunting, but based on, you know, how Liverpool seem to be ending the season, perhaps not as daunting for someone like Slot coming into his new job.
Absolutely, yeah. Because I think you know, it feels like a lifetime ago now, probably for Liverpool fans, but it was only, what, 6 weeks ago. They were going to Old Trafford and they already had the Carabao Cup in the cabinet. And you're thinking, you know, a pretty average Manchester United team beat them. You're in the latter stages of the FA Cup. At that point, they were in a great position to win the Premier League, you know, drawn against the sixth best team in Serie A. Looked destined to be heading for a Europa League final showdown with Bayer Leverkusen in Dublin. So it just looked like the stars were aligning. And then, and of course, it's like, wow, that, you know, how do you possibly follow that? You know, if Klopp gets the dream finale, the guy before you wins everything, there's only one way you can go. But of course, the way things have gone, and it's been really sad to see as well that, you know, seeing how down Klopp has been, because, you know, more than anyone, he wanted to go out on a high. But it does make things slightly easier for the next guy, because there are issues there. It's not a case of people saying, well, maybe it's a good time for change, because I still think Jurgen Klopp will be massively, massively missed and they're incredibly big boots to fill. But it doesn't feel like the impossible job that it did look like 5 or 6 weeks ago, because, you know, the setbacks they've suffered, you know, at this stage of the season have kind of highlighted issues.
All right, James, appreciate your time, and David as well. I know he had to head off a little earlier. And also, if you want to hear more from James, you can listen to the dedicated Liverpool podcast, Walk on The Athletic platform right now. Thanks so much for listening. Don't forget to rate and review the podcast.
The Athletic.